I believe our destiny is in that city on the hill. But you know, that city is the highest peak above Jerusalem. And there's no mixture in it. It's all spirit.
Amen.
So I want you to remember that when you sing that from now on. That you're agreeing that you're going to walk out the destiny to pursue a walk that's all spirit. I hope you're ready to be challenged. Because I am. I've been challenged this week very much. And I'm determined, the last couple of years I've determined not, when a great conference happens, to just say, "Oh God, we had another great meeting." I can tell you, I've spent a good part of my life treating the Word of God that way. And I'm determined to say, "God, make it effectual in me. You make it where I can walk it out in the body that I'm in." Monday, when there's not a lot of adrenaline, you know, there's a pace here, and that's good, don't get me wrong, but we have to walk it out when it's quiet. And we can. I'm not here to badger us that when we're done. I'm here to say we can do it. We can do it. Go over to 1 Corinthians 12. I know Brother Cody's done some preliminary teaching with y'all on being set, divine placement in the body. And let me just, if I can just simplify part of that. This is certainly not everything, but you are not shopping for an assembly to be associated with.
That's right.
And I know I'm speaking to people that are part of the local assembly in Doncaster, visitors from out of the country, and people from other churches around. I just want to tell you, God has got a destiny, and it's not a little list that you can hold in your hand. It's something that will unfold, but you've got to find the place where that destiny is going to unfold.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage you that when you find it, there are some things that you can do to make it work. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. I'm sorry, verse 18. And I want you to look at body ministry. I am just seeing a totally new way to look at body ministry. I've used it as accessories on a car. Oh, well, yeah, we moved in body ministry this summer, this service. Or such and such moved, and we had a good service. We had a lot of body ministry. It's not accessories. Everything from the beginning of this Bible to the end is pointing towards God's determination to replenish the earth with His influence. Body ministry is just the vehicle to bring you to the point where you're reflecting the fullness of Christ. It's not where we have a first aid clinic. We have a psychological clinic. And in my mind, I have treated the manifestations of the Spirit that way. And I know that you can listen to the radio and television. I'm not sure. I imagine y'all are as saturated as we are in the States. Advertisements, enticements, using the manifestation of the Spirit as an enticement to build up a congregation. And that's not at all what God's purpose is. Okay, this first part of 12, you need to read it again. Understanding there's significance to everybody in the body. But verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." You can just hold your place there. I'm going to come right back. But I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We've just been, in a good way, we've just been affirming His predetermined will for us in the song we sang. Predetermined that we would, that destiny is in a city on a hill. It's nowhere else. It's Zion. You know, when you see the references to Zion, you'll know that's what God's calling you to, the highest peak, where it's all spirit, no flesh. Now, we're certainly not there yet, but I'm certainly encouraged by the Lord that He's already mapped the way out, and He's determined that we would reach that goal. So I'm not here to, when you find, don't beat up on yourself if you're not, if you find areas in your life that are flesh dominated. Don't beat up on yourself. I'm going to show you some things to, otherwise we're back in works. Having begun in the Spirit, are we now made perfect by the flesh. And I'm telling you, Galatians, it says we've been bewitched in some ways that we approach God. Okay? Verse 5, we could go on. You could start at the first verse and not stop. It's just hard to pick a little bit out of Ephesians here. But let me just go with verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, set us in the body as it pleased Him, predestinating us according to His will. I want to challenge, like I say, whatever your background, if you're part of Harvest Fields, if you're part of another assembly, if you're in school in Doncaster, I tell you what, find out where your setting is. It is, I hate to use the term, it's the key. I don't know how to say, but I can tell you it's important for you to find out, be open to be set. Because that's where everything that happens that unfolds your destiny is going to happen. It's not going to happen in free-for-all Christianity. Picking and choosing buffet style what you like about this ministry and this ministry. I would advise you to concentrate on what voices you hear.
Right.
And in this age when there are so many books and programming on TV and radio, it's buffet time any hour of the day. And we know from meeting here for 3 days, it's not good to have buffet every day. You know, you need to keep your diet that accommodates your own growth. And it's going to come when you know where your setting is. And I'll use the S word. Things may have changed a good bit. I didn't like this word back in the 70s because it was real bondage. But you submit yourself to authority in your local fellowship. And you do that not with a card. You know, you don't sign up for that. You don't even acknowledge it. I don't mean that you never say it, but you do it. It's in the doing of it. All this walk is in the doing of it. And let's don't walk away from this week hearing about how other people are doing it. Let's appropriate it where we can do it ourselves. And I'm speaking to you folks that are in school here. Take advantage. I don't mean this week. Take advantage of what's available to you. Submit all your plans. I was in school when I first heard this word, and I went off to get a college education. You know, I had no idea all this was ahead of me. I might have stayed home if I did, you know. But you young guys in Harvest Fields, this is all to be grasped now, right where you are.
Hallelujah.
It's not God, the Holy Spirit's your tutor. He's the paracletos, the one called alongside to help you. He'll help you understand what you need to do on your level now. But stay with it. Not because your parents are here, not because your girlfriend's here, not because your spouse is here, but because we just think you gladly choose. You gladly choose.
Praise the Lord.
And if you have been set in the body as it pleased Him, you don't have any say-so. And I'm not talking about voting. I think most of us have gotten out of the voting era, you know, thinking that church business is to be voted on. It's to be handled by men that are fully held accountable by God to God. You don't want the responsibility that you think a vote gives you. If you know the accountability that the men set in your body have over you, they're accountable to God for your very lives. So what I'm saying, when I say your vote on how things go in your life and in the way you interact with other people in the body, you don't hold a vote on that. You've been set in the body as it pleased Him. And not to, I hope I haven't painted a depressing picture of it so far. But I have been very depressed about it at times in my life. And I'll tell you, only until the last 2 or 3 years, different things that have been taught to me over the years have finally gelled together. And I'm a little bit more relaxed. I'm a little bit more able to fit in where I've been set. And I was set 1978. Don't take as long as I did to learn how to relax and flow in the principles that God's already set up for you to walk in. He's already set them up. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Give me in that verse means to make it available. It's the same thing as many as believed on Him, to them gave He power, the ability, and it's powerful ability, to become sons of God, to become responsible enough to bear His presence, to be a bearer of His presence in the earth. That's what... Genesis 1:27, so God created man. This is all God's choosing. His choosing. Not His... when you see the predetermined will of God, just open your eyes and you'll start seeing it as you hear the Word preached in your assembly. You'll see it as you read on your own. You'll see how His predetermined will is just a unified theme through the whole Word. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. He had divine influence in the creation. He wanted to manifest His divine image in the creation of the earth that He had done. And His purpose has not changed at all. It hasn't changed at all. Of course, the fall happened. God's presence was lifted. We've been hearing about the tabernacle, the Ark of the Tabernacle. The tabernacle that God's going to rebuild, the intermediate ways that He dealt with man, we are the tabernacle that He's rebuilding. But if He's going to place His presence in us, He doesn't want the mixture still in there. And you can determine to get rid of the mixture all you want, and it's about like saying, my New Year's resolution is not to sin. It's about as fruitless as that. But I want to give you. You've got to know your place in that you've been set in the body of Christ, a local assembly now, not just the body in general, which gives me the right to flip through the TV and pick out just what I want to hear, and just cloud my mind with verses after verses, principle after principle. Oh, I like the way they dress on that ministry. You'll get so confused if you're just picking and choosing. You stay tune your ear to what's going on in your assembly. Tune your ear. If it's time to move, you're going to have to work that out yourself. I'm not trying to here to tell everybody where to be. You are responsible to hear and to know what that certain sound is that God's speaking. And you can know it. But you'll have to quiet everything, every opinion you have, every concept you have about what your life was meant to be. And you can hear it. But that's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Go with me to Ephesians. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's real interesting what's sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. We all know 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's no accident. It's no accident that it's sandwiched right in there. He's just chosen how the body operates, every member in its place in chapter 12. And he said, he set you in the body as it pleased him. And there's a reason that he throws in that chapter 13. It's going to take you operating in love to make that work. I'll come back to just one or two verses in there, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Brother McCurry ministered this morning out of Zechariah about he's measuring the inner measurements, wanting them to measure up. That's what he's about. That's why all the dealings are going on in your life. That's why all the everything going on in your life is an opportunity for you to change, have changes take place. If it's predetermined, it's not. We heard it this morning. It's just right out of the Word. Everything you're going through is common to all men. It's just when it happens to you, it seems uncommon. But it's all common. It's common to all men. Tribulation, Romans 5 tells us, tribulation worketh patience. Don't be a fool like me. I thought if I just didn't open my mouth that I would that exercise, I was exuding this virtue of patience. So I kept silent and got bitter for about 6 years during the pressure. Oh, yes. And everybody thought I was patient. Well, not everybody. People with discernment, they knew better. But it was just death. I was just bottling up my total resentment to God because things weren't going my way. But the word patience, if you look it up, it's constancy. All these tribulations are there just to work you where you can remain constant right in the middle of them. That's the way Paul operated when he was in prison. Was he saying, if I can just get out of this cell, then I'll be free to minister. You know, if this binding in Jerusalem was not ahead of me, then I could that certainly is going to bind up my ministry. And that's not at all what happened. He knew good and well what God had foreordained for him. And what he didn't know, he said, I'm willing to go through and demonstrate a constancy. That's what your pastor needs out of you. He needs you to be constant at any time in your life. And that's what you need. I'm just going to throw every now and then a few tidbits in. You need to show up when you have services. I'm not talking about this meeting. I know that sometimes midweek, you know, it's good. It's good, though. You need to make some sacrifice. You need to show up where you've been set, whether you feel spiritual or not. Whether you have resentment against somebody or not. Right. Whether your feelings have been hurt or not. Right. Whether you've been mistreated or not. Right. Or whether you've just perceived all those things. I'm not interested whether it's been real or in your imagination, but you need to show up when the saints are assembling. It's the only way you're going to discover the nuggets you need to take you on in each step of the way. That's not always, and I can tell you, it's not fun, because every one of these ministries does it. They've shown up when we drug our behinds for 20 years. They showed up and gave the word out to us. You know, do these ministries have some kind of advantage over us? Do they have some special advantage to wake up in the morning and not choose to position themselves toward God? They've got the same choice we have. The difference is they do it. And they do it consistently. They just have reminded themselves that this is my destiny. And I love you, God, because of who you are, not because it's not fun anymore. And I'm telling you, if you can grasp hold that it's not about your... There's peace. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say this isn't... Yeah, I've had a great time here. But it's still been pressing because the Word's pressing on me and churning me up. It's a great fun life. I have fun. I'm just saying it's not always fun to make the effort to be consistent. But your faithfulness is going to be a key to you making it to that city on a hill. It's essential. And once you habitually get in the habit of a lifestyle, it's not near as hard later on. Okay, Ephesians 4. I'm not going to... I'm going to read it out of sequence to show you how essential what I'm talking about, what your responsibility is. And I'm speaking so much your responsibility to these ministries represented here. I'm speaking to me from Springs of Life. I'm speaking to Harvest Fields and wherever anybody else is set. If you're set there, you've got the same responsibility, and it's the key to your moving toward God. It really is. You can have all the good teaching you want, but if you're not operating where God has set you, you can't make it effective in your life. You'll just have a good notebook full of good teachings that you can talk about, but you really won't experience. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. I'll go with verse 8. Wherefore, this is Christ, when He rose again from the dead, He ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and I have to catch myself. Do you ever do the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors? Just trying to get through the list. Highly, these are gifts from the risen Christ to the body of Christ. And they're given for a specific purpose, and you cannot take advantage of them unless you're there. You can't take advantage of them. Let's go to verse 11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. If you don't understand each one of these ministries, spend some time understanding them. I'm not here to define each one of those ministries. But I think you'll find, if you ask around to different folks in this room and you do some studying on your own, you'll find that it's not just a flippant, just a little office. Oh, you're such and such or whatever. You'll come away with a deep respect for the man or the woman that's over your assembly. And that respect better be translated into your action toward it, okay? Why did He give these fivefold ministries? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the full equipping. Yeah, read that in the Amplified. Yeah. It's it'll It'll amplify it. Hey, what can I say? These ministries are given to fully equip us for the work of the ministry. And again, don't be a loaded half. Don't be like me. And you're always saying, what's my ministry? I got to get in the ministry. I got a minister. It's not about, it's about you sharing it. Christ broke off His ministry through these office ministries, and their influence on you is just another breaking, a further breaking down of His ministry through you. You don't have a ministry. You don't have to. I just get so tired of hearing and saying, I've got a ministry. You know, you have this anxiousness to get out there and minister something. It's, if you can be a vessel for His ministry to flow through, excellent. But you don't have any ministry of your own. And there's a, you know, you've got to get that in where it really sits down deep in you. Otherwise, you'll go off half-cocked and you'll be doing something in your own strength and there will be no fruit to show for it. And we don't want that. We want there to be fruit that lasts. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? The edification of the body of Christ is not just so everybody can go home from the service with no psychological problems, no physical problems, no relationship problems. And I'm telling you, they're playing with the manifestations like toys. And I'm not saying that God doesn't meet each one of these problems in body ministry. But you need to see the purpose of it. It's to edify the body, to build the body up for something beyond just not having a need. It's not about my needs. Although my needs are covered. But it's not me coming. And don't get me wrong, if you're in need, please show up. But you're going to have to grow up and find that you're coming bearing your own oil, your own anointing to give to Him. That's got to be your primary thing. If your needs aren't met, He is still God. He's still God. Okay? And I'm still under His care. I'm still in His predetermined will just because every one of my needs isn't met right now. You can demonstrate that. I mean, you've got to learn to demonstrate that. I had a chance Friday before we got on the jet to say, everything is caving in. Why did I say I was going to England? And then, God is working with me and helping me. Not particularly spiritual. I wasn't complaining. He laid His hand on my shoulder and said, you get on that plane and don't worry about a thing. Totally out of the blue. I'm just telling you, you don't get so need conscious that you miss what God's trying to do in the body of Christ. He wants to edify the body with each member, but not just so we're just this a group of people with no needs. He's wanting to manifest Himself in us. So every need that the body, that each part of the body supplies, is for a much bigger purpose than just so you don't have some unattached, you know, some problem in your life. Look down here, verse 13. Till, it's to edify the fivefold ministries given to fully equip us so that we could do the ministry of edifying the body of Christ so that we would come into something. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's an experiential knowledge of Him. Not knowing about Him. Not knowing the teachings that GC gave me. Not knowing the teachings that Brother Cody gave me. And God, they're anointed. They're revelation to me. I've got to have the same experience with Him. The same knowing of Him. And they're equipping me to have that experience. But it's going to take, you know, it's going to take my knowing Him on my own. I hate to use that word. That it takes you personally have some experience in understanding who He is. Not knowing after the flesh. not knowing as some revolutionary who you might follow his good teachings. The Christ, the Son of the living God, the anointed Word in the earth, the anointed Word that feeds me when I open this book. And when it's black and white, it's not him. But when it's the anointed Word, it's him in this book. You need to know him not after the flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. He says, we've known Christ after the flesh before. We've known him with a mixture of a good teacher, and he was the Son of God. Sure, he was the Son of God. Good teacher. Read teachings, put them in my notebook, and go home, and I said, I'd have a good meeting. Not to know him. To know him. Have the effectual Word working in me. Until we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's his predetermined will for you and I. And the vehicle to bring us there is for us to be planted in a local body, know that we've been set there, and operate there. I'm not here to say, well, you need to be doing this. You need to relax and get yourself quiet and find out what you need. But believe me, there are opportunities to be of service in the local body before God even... You'll know them. You'll know what to do without being in a tizzy, without being anxious. Am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? What do I do? But you can get over that. But you had better be about finding out how God wants you to operate in the body that He's placed you in. And it happens in the very practical level of just showing up. How more submissive could you be when pastor calls a meeting and you just show up? Demonstrate submission to the set person over you by showing up.
Hallelujah.
Just demonstrate it. That's half the battle is that. Show up with your problems. I'm not saying come in and I'm saying, would you rather be out there away from the pressure? I say the pressure. Would you be out there with your problem apart from the anointing, or come in where the anointing is and see all of a sudden something happen just because you opened your heart to God? Somebody may not have to say anything to you. Get in where the anointing is. Get rid of you. Half of what you have is on your mind is an imagination anyway. So get on in here and cast down the imaginations. It's not the elder's responsibility to cast down imaginations in your mind. It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's not the prophet, the apostle. It's not their responsibility. Paul said, casting down. Who's the doer in that? You and me. Casting down. If he said we are to do it, I must be able to do it. It's not a trick question. Just because I don't do it is not proof that I can't do it. It's doing. I hate to say that word. I don't mean do good works. Do what the Word says to do. Because He's given you the full ability to do it. Full ability. All right. Let me just stop there in this chapter. The full stature that he wants a full representation of Himself manifested in each one of us. He's not interested in somebody to hand out tracts. He's not interested in somebody to start a church. He's not interested in somebody to be... Y'all please hear me right, okay? I'm not mocking anything. He's not interested in you just being a good kid in school. He's not interested in me in trying to be a good fella in the workplace. He's interested in me letting Him shine out. I mean, a real anointing of His presence shine out. And it can happen before I'm fully mature. There's a partial outshining before we're fully mature. So don't think it's this one day pie in the sky that I'm building up to this big crescendo and I'm so far behind that why try anymore? The Word addresses all these. He addresses all these thoughts. Look in Philippians 3. Paul said, I have not apprehended that I've been apprehended for. Forgetting what lies behind, I press toward that mark. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not talking about self-effort. I'm not talking about wearing yourself out doing good things. But you are going to have to be about giving your attention to Him. Gladly choosing Him is giving your attention to Him is not avoiding being in certain bad places. You can be in church and have no attention towards Him. Talking about it's quieting your mind, quieting all your ambitions, all of the daily things you have to do. I don't mean you're going to be of no use. You're going to be better use in the situations God placed you in. But you're going to have to quiet this active soul mind because it's limited. It has only limited information. Your spirit is the vehicle that God's Spirit speaks to you about what He's doing. And if you're occupied with this mind rolling on about all your cares, your financial situation, your perception of how somebody has offended you, I can say that because I'm of all men most offended. I've begged God sometimes to say, God, why did you make me so sensitive? Get my feelings hurt every time somebody corrects me or ignores me or, you know, whatever. He has given me no response. And I realized why. He's such a good father. He says, your personality doesn't have to get in the way of me moving through you. I can use your sensitivity in some things, but some of it's just, well, I can't say. Some of it is just pity, sentimentality. And you have got to lean on me and let me discern where to cut off which way. The pastor, G.C., mentioned this morning about the army that said they laid the lame and the halt in front, almost like human shields. We saw that in the Gulf War. Human shields so they won't cross over. David said, I've got a reward for those who cross over. You're going to have to go against sentimentality in other people. You're going to have to go against sentimentality in your own self. Okay? All right. There's more to this. Every part is to be growing up to the head, which is Christ. Read on a few more verses on your own. There's all this equipping, full equipping, is so that we can be changed into something that we're not quite yet. But I'm telling you what, you can be on the way if you'll find your place in the body that God set you. And when the opposition comes, when you oppose what God is doing, we use opposition like it's some third party that gets in my way. When the opposition rises up in me, first part of chapter 4 is the way that I can deal with it. It's the way that you can deal with it. It's the way Paul set it up in Corinthians, where he stuck the chapter on love right in the middle of body ministry and the manifestations of the Spirit. Look here in the first part of this chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He is serious. We don't use beseech. I don't know if y'all still use beseech. I know this is the King James English, but he is pleading with them. He's saying, I'm pleading with you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It's not your job. Your vocation is not your job. Brandon and I were talking how sometimes we come up against and we see that you start defining yourself as what you do for a living. And even ministers do that. I mean, there's a lot of pressure out here. There's a lot of pressure out here. And and men are, they're trying to define themselves as what they do instead of saying, I'm fulfilling the calling that God has on my life. That's the vocation you're called to. Whatever position you find yourself in, you don't stop trying to figure out what the next step is, and you function right where you are. The job you're in, it may be better, it may get worse. The position you're in the body of Christ may get better, may get worse. But if you're there according to His good pleasure, you're there for to have the right things worked out in you. And I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't get any more real than this. As my brother Bob says, it's Monday, we're going to have to go back and walk this out. You know, there'll be the end to some good meetings, some good revelation, some good meat. But it's how I walk it out, where I am. Everybody, we're the same way when we host a meeting. Well, we're not all lovey-dovey behind the scenes. Sometimes we're just plain tired and grumpy. But you know, there's still a lot of, you know, there's love flowing in it. But it's going to be worked out in your day-to-day existence when you function with the man or woman that you've been set under, your job, your family. That's where you're going to work it out. Yeah. And you can do it. You can do it. Everything God in this, you're fully equipped to do it. Now that, don't you forget that. This predestined path has got to be discovered, though, where He set you. And how do you handle when things don't go your way? He's pleading with you to walk worthy of the calling that you've been called to. Worthy. Oh, well, I'm not, I don't want to hear this I'm not worthy stuff. I don't feel worthy. I don't care. This just rises up in me. Because it's, you don't know, I wish, you just don't know what it's like for God. Well, you do. I know so. When you felt unworthy most of your life and you constantly compare your worthiness, and that's not a thing God's talking about. He's made me acceptable in the Beloved. Let's get past that, okay? Can we get past that? Here He's saying, walk worthy of the calling that you've been called to. He's saying, you prove it out. That's what He's saying. Walk, show the proof of it. I'll show the proof by functioning with the leadership that I'm under in back in Georgia. I'll show the proof as I submit to the body there. I'll show the proof as I go about my daily activities, constantly positioning myself in the correct way that the Word told me to. And when I don't, do I feel unworthy? No, I better just reposition myself. There's no time for this unworthy feeling anymore. Get it out of your pattern of behavior. Okay? With all lowliness and meekness. I thought I had a place. I thought I had a function. I thought I could show my part in the body. As the head directs, you can do your part. But other than that, you better not show anything. Okay? Lowliness, meekness. I'm not the first center of attention. I'm not the one whose feelings have to always be accommodated. Hello? With long suffering. I can take a little short suffering. You know, just enough little doses. But what if I have to go back to the midweek service while I'm still not over the suffering of my feelings being hurt on Sunday? God's not. He has. I can tell you, He has not done a thing for me in that area. He said, there's no problem. Show up. Okay? And I'm talking about perceived. When we joke a lot about the pressing that our pastor does to us, the crushing, the pushing. We joke a lot about it. But I'm telling you what, the pain is mostly perceived. Because everything that's been painful has been dropping the things that didn't have anything to do with me pursuing the spirit walk, the kingdom walk. It had nothing. The things that I was upset about They weren't even worth having in my life. They weren't worth having. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. I don't see anybody has an excuse to be offended at anybody. I'm walking in meekness, walking in lowliness, I'm long-suffering, and I forbear you in love. I forbear you knowing that you're an earthen vessel with a treasure inside. And if, as Paul said, and we talked about it a minute ago, 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. And I'm telling you, it's a peaceful existence in the body of Christ when you stop knowing men and women after the flesh. It's peaceful. There's rest. If you don't, there's turmoil, and you're constantly having to get over having something go wrong in your mind. Know them after the Spirit. I'm determined to know no man except after the Christ that's in him. If I can be friends with you on a natural level, that's fine. If I can't, that's fine too. But I'm determined to find that contact in Christ. And what I can fellowship with you on, just, you know, everybody has different tastes. Flow with it as much as you possibly can. And when But don't wait on the other person to change. Because I'm telling you, God's, you'll be waiting while your destiny grinds to a halt. The movement you should be making forward will grind to a halt while you're waiting for somebody else to change, when their change didn't have anything to do with what God's doing in you. And I'm finding God's not, some of these changes God's not even, He doesn't seem to be in a big hurry and doesn't seem to be concerned about. Half of it's my traditional outlook on what needs to change in you. So don't get hung up on that. Here we go. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. J.C. mentioned the Greek word for that is endeavoring. It's going beyond what you want. It's not putting what you want first. That's what you read in 1 Corinthians 13. It said, love does not seek its own. Telling you, it will just plain defuse every conflict you have in your local relationships if you don't seek your own.
Right.
It's real, and it's been sitting under our nose, and we treat the Word of God like a Valentine card, not something that's just to be practiced without us even noticing that it's being practiced. But I just wanted to encourage you that you for you to press in to the full stature of Christ, which is what these ministries are pressing us toward. Having the tabernacle rebuilt, us becoming his habitation. You're going to have to do it in your local assembly. And you're going to have to go beyond yourself in order to get the benefits of how to change, of how to be changed. If you're offended, you won't show up, and you won't hear the Word and let the Word be mingled with faith and change you. So, show up. Stay submitted. Endeavor. Whatever it costs you in your soul life. Look up the scripture in Luke about if any man lose his life for my sake, he'll find it. The life he's talking about, if we could just go out and get shot and be a martyr, boy, that would be simple compared to what that scripture is talking about. Your soul life, your right to have your mind actively going, analyzing somebody else's motive. I'm not talking about discernment now. Sure, discernment, you may pick up a wrong motive. But you're analyzing everybody's motivation, what they've said, well, they didn't do, or I didn't do this, and I feel this way. That life has got to be lost so that you can gain his life. So slow down that process of your soul just running 90 miles an hour, analyzing everything after what you see with your senses. And you can flow, you can endeavor. You can forbear one another. You can go long with your suffering. And I'm telling you what, these gifts God set over us, they need us to be functioning in this way. They've given themselves to the part of His ministry that He gave. And they need us to take our place. You take your place real faithfully where you are. It's not to be set is just the beginning. It's got to be walked out week after week, pain after pain, joy after joy. And we know from the Scripture it's not just a one-way street. But there is some suffering, there is some pain, but there's a joy, there's beauty for ashes, there's all these things at the same time. And it is a victorious situation. But learn how to function where He set you. Don't think that it's something far away. It's right where you live. And He's fully equipped you to do it. Okay. Hallelujah.